Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another night of Astromind 2012. I'm your host, Adrian, and tonight we also have Roy. Let's go ahead and bring Roy back on. 801, Roy. Let's bring Roy on the air. Roy, are you there?
Yes, Adrian, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Roy, what is on the topic tonight? I guess we have a very special caller on tonight regarding the Montauk project. I guess it's coming out really soon, the Montauk Chronicles, and we're going to be talking a little bit about that before we start our show with our readings. Roy, what do you have to say about this, all this, these experiments going on?
Well, first of all, we want to welcome back all our longtime callers and listeners, and we're looking to another great night of Astromind 2012. And, we're looking forward to having our special guest tonight, and where we could talk about the Montauk. And could you explain a little bit more about it, Adrian, to our listeners?
Well, we like to clue in all our listeners about the Montauk Chronicles that is just coming out. And it's interesting because we've made a lot of connections over the past couple of years on how far we've gone down the rabbit hole with all this programming that's going on. I like to explain what the Montauk Chronicles is about. Basically, it had a lot to do with the Philadelphia experiments that were going on back in the olden times. I'm guessing that it has a lot to do with a lot of experimental things that are going on with our DNA and these experiments that have been going on around the world. They're using different people with different genetics. How they connect with these type of things. And we're going to be bringing on a very special guest tonight by the name of Rocco. And he was actually used in the Montauk Project. And he was part of their experiments. And we would like to interview him tonight based on his experience and what went on, what really went behind the closed doors. Is there anything you want to share of that, Roy?
And that's interesting. We know that, that a lot of these experiments go all the way back to the time of Atlantis. And it's interesting, talking to some of these people that have a memory, or, they can go back and remember a lot of the things that did go on during that time. And so we're looking forward to having Rocco share that with us. Is he on the line yet, Adrian?
Well, let's start the show. We don't have too much time, but we want to hurry and get through the show so we can do our readings. Let's go ahead and bring Rocco on from the 631 area. Go ahead and Rocco, and come on the air and share your experiences with us. Go ahead and introduce
I'm
Rocco.
Here.
Are you there?
Okay, happy
Rocco,
holidays to everybody.
Thank you for joining us on Astromind.
Not a problem.
We have Rocco here, and he's from Long Island. And Rocco, would you care to introduce yourself to our audience and tell us some of your experiences? What's been
sure.
going on?
Hi, once again, my name is Rocco, and like Adrian and Roy were talking about how these experiments have been going on. Where this is going on at the tip of Montauk Point. Off to the side, there's a derelict radar tower. I am young. They say that this project stopped in 83, but it went on into the 90s. I grew up in a town by the name of West Hampton Beach, and I had actually went to kindergarten on the Air Base housing in West Hampton. And they would take us up there on class trips. And it's weird because over the summer, going back to Montauk Chronicles, I had totally missed my, all my memories basically went out the window from the time I was 5 years old all the way up to 9 years old. And, you know, this past summer, I had been going on the internet, and it was weird. I got drawn to this thing that said Montauk Chronicles. And I looked at it, and it got to the point where I got really, really obsessive over this. And I had to go, and I had to see what was going on with it. And sure enough, when I got there, it literally felt like I got on the property. I felt like I knew what it was. Actually, I knew how to get there without even having directions. Pretty interesting. And you know, I got really, really sick when I got onto the property. My stomach started turning. I got really dizzy. I started to have flashbacks of being put in you know, these cages that were made out of like chicken wire, and being told to shut up, you're going to do what we want you to do, when we want to do it, how we want to do it. I have memories of being forced to, you know, they talk about sex rituals, being forced to have sex with a 20-year-old girl when I was 4 years old. Alien activity all over the base. I've never witnessed the Montauk Chair, but definitely there was time traveling going on there. It's weird because, you know, as you go on through this, you start meeting people. And I met somebody, and he was... he did a reading, and he had told me that I was involved in the Philadelphia experiment in the past life, and that I died in the hull of the ship. Now, don't quote me on this because, you know, sometimes I have a hard time. I second guess myself. Like, how could the world be so deceptive? You know what I mean? How could the government do this to people? You know, but lo and behold, it happened. I believe it's still happening. The last time I went to Camp Hero, which was where this was going on underneath the airbase, I seen that there was power still going to the underground area of the base, which leads me to believe that there's still something going on there. Here on Long Island, it's basically, you know, I like to call it one great big hot spot for an experimentation. You have the Brookhaven Laboratory. You have a bunch of different psychiatric centers. I remember briefly, being taken into a room, strapped to a chair, needles put in my arm. And you know, as I'm talking to the listeners about this, guys, I'm getting really sick to my stomach. I'm getting dizzy, very nauseous. It's almost like this stuff still, you know, I get triggered by talking about this. It's real. It's definitely real. I don't think it will ever stop. You know, I believe they want the same thing with the DNA. I am a surrogate child. I believe that they did take my DNA, and there's a possibility of me having a clone, which is what they would call, like, when they were doing the Super Soldier program, they would take our DNA and they would clone us. And then, you know, eventually down the line, I feel maybe that all of this stuff, that clone is going to try to come back at me. You know, it's a bunch of different things going on. You know, it's just this Montauk is like, I'm still obsessed with it. It's like I'm looking for an answer that I've yet to be able to find. But it's kind of like the synchronicities, you know, of who I'm meeting. The things they're saying to me, certain songs that I talk about trigger other people's memories. I believe that, you know, I have a really hard time holding employment. I was in and out of psychiatric centers from the time I was 13 on up to about 27 now that I'm 27. I went to prison for almost 4 years. I didn't know how to socialize. I didn't know how to, you know, hold a relationship. It was disgusting. It was like I couldn't, you know, I didn't know how to deal with society, you know. It was like unhumane. Mm-hmm. The things that were done to us, unhumane. I remember eating out of like a dog bowl, laying in a cage, chained to the floor, and just hearing the kids scream, other kids scream, mommy, mommy, I want my mommy, and you know, just the smell and the coldness of the floors and the electric shock and the near-death drownings and the, you know, the rituals and the, you know, being forced to go into time travel, into other time zones. How can you do this? Like, but this is the reality of it, you know. And
was there a lot of torture going on, Rocco, back then? I mean, a lot of abuse. I mean, what you went through.
Absolutely.
So you were like slaves then?
Yes, I was. But like basically, okay. Like in the movie The Chronicles, they show him holding up a gentleman holding up a card in his hand after, you know, he did all this torment to this kid, and he said, "Now I'm gonna hold these cards up, right? And I'm gonna, mm-hmm. you know, and I want you to tell me what card that I am, the cards that I'm holding in my hand." And I want you to do it right away. And I'm going to put on some music that's not in this time and not even in my time or your time. And it looked like this kid's eyeballs were going to pop out of his skull. You know, it's just like they would try to drive you insane. You know, they try to get you, you know, to that point where they could, they basically, what I like to call it, and a lot of people call it, is shatter your soul. Shatter you. So you would do whatever they want you to do, whenever they want you to do it, however they want you to do it. There's also other things that I've heard. I don't recall it happening to me. I've heard it from others. They were laying in bed and a portal would open in front of their bed and somebody would jump out of the portal and grab these kids and bring them into the portal, and then next thing you know, they'd be back in their bed like it never happened. So,
wow.
You know, that's where, like, I believe the alien technology goes to, where they would just come, they'd take you, and it'd be like 11 o'clock, and you'd be back at, like, 11:01 point something. You know what I mean? Like, that's how fast it would be. But in that, they say it'd be like hours and hours and hours. They'd be experimenting on you.
Right.
I wake up with marks on my arms. I still have nightmares. Sometimes I can't. It's hard for me to come out of a dream. You know, it's very scary for me. You know, but, you know, I believe that people need to be more open-minded, you know, instead of, you know, this thing of, you know, I'm going to work, I'm going to come home, I'm going to watch TV, you know, I'm going to tend my garden when I get older and I'm going to die. You know, to me, there's more in life. You know, to me, there's more we need to look at. You know, we need to reach out. We need to help others, you know, because in my opinion, there's a lot of people out there that are lost, that think they know what's going on, but they don't really know what's going on because they've never seeked it. You know, and that's what we need to do on a day-to-day basis. We need to seek this. We need to build our spirituality on a more bigger level. You know, we need to be, you know, we need to try to get our minds back. We need to try to get back what we lost. You know, I talk about, you know, some people, how they just, you know, they're very negative, you know. It's like, oh, I got to complain about money. I don't have a job. And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking to myself, well, you know what? I'm happy I'm alive. I'm happy I'm alive.
Well, Rocco, how would you feel about getting some callers here? You know, asking some questions. You know, I'm sure a lot of our callers have questions. And we don't have too much time, but let's go ahead and bring a caller on from the 252 area, and let's go see if there's any callers out there that have any questions. Caller from the number 252, are you on the air?
Yeah. Hi, my name is Keisha, calling from North Carolina.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, Keisha, and you're on the phone with me, Rocco and Roy, and we're just wondering what's your thoughts on all this, all these experiments going on. I mean, are you aware of what's going on? Or
I believe it. I feel his heart, so I believe it. But I know that the government, like I was telling some lady a couple of days ago, that the government knows. The government have all these experiments. They have these think tanks. They have all these psychiatrists. And what do you think they're doing? They're experimenting on people to see their reactions.
Right.
And so one day in time, what they're going to do is turn all that information, they're going to put it on the mass and to cause a certain reaction or cause a certain event to come about, you know, like the Third World War, you know, which I think what they're trying to manipulate us into getting into right now. So, yeah, so I totally believe them. Because, guys, this is other experiments. You know, when you take psychology, they tell you about these experiments that they put people through to see how far they would go to kill another person. And it's you just be amazed just how far. So if that's something they do, you know, publicly, what are they doing, you know, behind the scenes, you know? So we really don't know what they're doing, but we know it's usually heinous and it's usually just something that, you know, the normal human psyche would never come up with. So, yeah, I totally believe you, though. Totally.
Right. So you might be going back to MK Ultra, what they used to do, because they put people in the room and they would try to see how far they could go to have, like, leave one person, but the rest all die. You know what
right.
I mean? They'd make you go insane to the point where you get into an argument with someone else, and then the next thing you know, they'd want you to kill that person, and they'd be up at top. And they'd be looking over, and they'd be laughing, like, this is funny.
Right.
But they convince you with money. Okay, you know, you come down here, you know, we'll pay you to do this for the day.
But you don't realize how far they're about to take it. Yeah,
right,
I know.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, I know. I know. They do these experiments. Just like I was telling my mother the other day about this experiment. I don't know who was saying this. Maybe in school. But anyway, there's another example where I got from school or somewhere where the man is, this man, he was on death row or whatever, and they told the guy, look, we'll let you go free if you allow us to do this, if you survive this experiment. So what they did was, he was on death row, you know, he was going to be executed, whatever. So what they did was they put him in a dark room, and they act like they was going, they slit his wrist or cut him somewhere, but it was a little small cut. It wasn't like, you know, well, they made it look like they cut it or felt like they, he, you know, that they cut him. And what they did was they put a drop. So it made it sounded like like it was like the blood was actually dropping out of his arm or whatever. And in the morning, the guy had actually died, but they didn't die he didn't die from loss of blood because they really didn't cut him. He died because of fear that he was gonna die. So this is the type of games they're playing with people, you know, mind games. Mm-hmm. So he actually committed suicide because he wasn't even cut. But this is what they're doing. They're really playing serious games with each other, with the populace, with people who don't know better. And even me, I can't even say I know everything, because I know for a fact that I've walked into a couple of traps. But you don't realize it till later, and then if you survive it, then you come out with all this information to tell the mass. But then the mass think you're crazy. They don't believe you. Like he said, the mass is not open to what is actually going on, and this is what is going to get us, a lot of us, in trouble, you know, in the near future, like I said, because they're trying to get that World War III on the ball right about now, and it looks like I said, in the near future, it's going to happen, you know, according to their estimates of how they, you know, how they're manipulating everybody so bad against each other. So, it's deep, though.
Right, it is. Definitely is.
Yeah.
It's an abomination to me. That's what it is.
Yes.
Well, you know, I just wanted to share something. I wanted to share something. It seems like a lot of these other country prisons are not like, you know, the ones that we have here in the United States. And I just wanted to share that, you know, just by watching, you know, a lot of these documentaries of, you know, how a lot of them don't have a lot of the nice facilities that we have. You know, they have to sleep on the dirt. I mean, they're sleeping by the rats, and they don't get a lot of what we get in a lot of these other prisons, you know.
Yeah, but the prisons that we have in here is a corporation. I mean, you're being sent.
Right.
It's more like slave labor. It's not. They want you in good health because you got to go to work to keep, you know, keep that corporation going, keep that money flowing to the warden or whoever is over.
Or they're going to drug you up like they did to me quite a few times and, you know, put me in 23-hour lockdown.
Oh, then that's,
you know, no showers,
yeah, you don't know. You don't know. You're not open to the. You're not really being shown to the public, and the public don't know what's going on. So you're definitely right. You're definitely right. They're doing stuff, and they're doing this stuff like kind of out in the open. But if the public is not open, like you said, if the public is not open to it, they think it's crazy, and it can't happen, and it's above, you know, the government. They don't know how evil people can really be, you know.
Right. So. Exactly. I like how Montauk Chronicles says, our cold visitors from outer space and the evil of man, you know, hits it right on the head, you know. It definitely does. Because, you know, that's another thing. I believe that the government has had a treaty with UFOs for years. And, you know, it's kind of funny, you know, like I speak to people about it all the time, and they're, oh, you're crazy. They say,
I know.
You're right. Well, you know,
I mean,
it's like they don't want us to know.
All the way
yeah,
back to the 1940s.
Yep.
Yeah.
This is during the time when the Montauk and the Philadelphia experiment, you know, they were starting to work with that. And these treaties were made by the ETs, you know, by the reptilians, you know, by the Greys, you know, for trade for different technologies.
Oh, yeah.
Just wanted to share that.
Yeah.
main thing is opening up the awareness to, you know, all our listeners out there that, you know, this is, you know, this is what's happening and this is what's yet to come, and we have to be prepared. And not, you know, a lot of people are going to be shocked because they think that, you know, that they're going to be taken care of, and they're not.
Well,
right.
They say,
the ones,
well, I don't
know.
Well, you know, the white lighters, they say, don't fear it. If it comes, don't fear it. Just pray for protection, or just pray that your soul will be protected. The physical is temporary, but just pray to angels to keep your soul intact and take you to the other, you know, to the higher dimensions if it comes to your door. Because don't fear it, because it's going to be a lot worse. But, you know, if you pray, if you keep your faith in whatever gods or angels or whatever you believe in, you keep that energy up, and it will help you kind of transcend all the negativity and get your soul to the direct place. I can't promise anybody physical will be intact or you will stay in this physical, but if it comes to your door, just remember your deities or whatever you hold close, and put your faith and hold on to that light, hold on to that light, so your soul will manifest to the next dimension, you know. So, because right now it just seems like this dimension, whatever this dimension is being flooded with evil. A lot of it is being just it's just being unleashed. It's just it's not even heavy. It's just like, what is going on? It's just it's like a full moon, you know, just all types of stuff is just going on. Little crazy stuff that just, and it's just, you have to be on constant alert. But you know, don't let it scare you. Just stay in your light, stay in your center. And just keep on doing what you have to do, you know?
Yep.
The main thing is we haven't seen nothing yet.
Oh, I know. It ain't even started. This is just like the this is just the intro. Oh, goodness.
Yeah,
we haven't even got to the middle of the movie. Which is terrible.
The main thing is we are the director of our movie. And how do we want our movie to end?
That's right.
You know, it can have a good ending or it could have a bad ending. You know, we're the ones who have to make that decision. Mm-hmm. And again, you know, like you say, you know, hold to the light, hold to, you know, whatever helps you and inspires you, you know, through your lifetime and whatever has given, you know, all of us, you know, protection. And, you know, and that's the message for all our listeners out there.
Yeah. Because I don't know how else to make it over this bump, because it's coming.
Yeah.
It's coming.
The main thing is we've made it this far. And, you know, as long as we all pull together, we can get over that hump.
Yeah, but it has to be as a collective. But if the general public is calling everybody crazy and don't want to see, it's really going to be up to the minority. Once again, we're talking about the minority. The minorities are the ones that are awake. The majority is still asleep. But I think they're waking up, though. I can't really say that. I think they're slowly waking up. Very slowly, because it will take the people as a whole. We need the people heart to be on one accord to beat this negativity. You know, we really can't, we don't have time to hate on one another because of how much money you got or what kind of car you drive or what kind of job you hold. We don't have time for that. It's some
serious stuff going on. We have to remember that we are the 99%.
We are. That's right, and we could defeat them, but we have to be on the same accord, truly.
Yeah.
And
amen.
I
do agree with that.
Yeah, and even with the Christians, with the Jews, with the third temple that they don't want to build for whatever reason. When the third temple built, all of us have to rebuild the third temple with love, absolute love for one another, for us to defeat the darkness or whatever you want to call it, Lucifer, the devils, or whatever you want to call it. But it has to be built. I have to put that out there to the universe. Everybody's listening to me. The third temple must be rebuilt with absolute love for one another, absolute caring for one another. It cannot be no hatred involved, no money involved. We're talking about absolute compassion, absolute
that,
love.
That love has to be unconditional also.
To rebuild the temple.
Mm-hmm.
And it might even be in a spiritual sense, but whatever this temple is that the Christians are talking about, it has to be rebuilt by everybody, the 99%, with absolute love and compassion.
That's the seventh seal right there. And the seventh seal has to be, you know, it has to come. It has to be there. And our consciousness has to rise. And it will. And it is. It is rising.
It's breaking.
And,
but it's a war.
The Illuminati, will continue to continue to program us. And we have to learn how to break out of the matrix. That is the whole bottom line. You know, and these projects are made to be exposed. That's why they're made. They're being exposed.
Yeah.
And it has to be exposed some way. And so you see all these kids that they've been taken, they've all been disappearing. Where did they go?
Or they're killing
children,
them all.
You know?
Oh, my goodness. They're just point blank killing the kids.
Exactly.
Point blank.
It's there.
Exactly. Yeah, it is. It is definitely sad. It's like, you know, I come to think about it, it's like, you know, here I am, I'm in kindergarten, and, you know, they're walking in the classroom, and they're saying, oh, you ready to go for a good old trip to Camp Hero? This is going to be fun. And, you know, you're on the bus, and, you know, next thing you know, you don't remember from 5 years old or 4 years old to, like, you know, 9 years old. You know, it's like, the totaling of just wiping your mind completely out, you know, like it's...
I don't know. What is the fascination with the children? I don't know.
Understanding with this is, like, when the Montauk Project and all that stuff started, which this movie, you know, it's going to be good. You can actually go on the internet and purchase it, and you'll get your code to watch it. Montauk Chronicles. Basically, back then, what they would do is kids, runaway kids, kids that would just hang out on the streets at night. They would just pick them up and they would lie to them. You know what I mean? And then if they did not get in the car with them, they would hold guns to their head with no bullets, mind you. So there you go again with the mind control, you know, like, you know, they're making you think they're going to pull the trigger and there's bullets, but there's really no bullets. You know what I mean? So they freak these kids out, they get them there, and, you know, they beat them, they near death drowning, bring them to a point of death, and then bring them up and say, I'm here to help you. You know, that kind of thing will destroy.
That's,
you know what I mean? That will break you.
That's what they do with horses they can't control. They take them down to the thing and almost drown them. And then bring them up just before they actually drown to act like they... like their savior. Oh, goodness, that's crazy.
You know, there's a lot of us out there. I actually have a best friend that he's dealing with it right now, and he's having a hard time dealing with it. And, you know, I'm trying to tell him you gotta look into it, you know, because he remembers being there, too. It's weird because, like I said, and another thing for the listeners, like when you're starting to obsess over something, especially when it comes to this,
and you get to the point where you got to read and you got to read and you got to read and you're getting like this one guy got driven all the way from, I think it was past California, all the way to Montauk Point, okay, to a derelict radar tower, and he started remembering things. You know, like, that's the thing. This is, whoa, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Somebody's coming that far to, you know, see what really went on with them. Like, you think about it, it makes you like, whoa. It's like, and I obsessed over it, and I heard this guy say that, and I said, oh, wow. Wow. And it was funny, I was telling Adrian before, I was telling him how I would look, there's the bluffs in Montauk by Camp Hero, and I would look over the bluffs and I could see nothing but foggy clouds in the Atlantic Ocean. And for some reason, I was drawn to that. I was like drawn to that. Like, what's
yeah.
going on here? Did they come and get me in a spaceship one night and bring me here? You know what I mean? Like, and then
yeah.
sometimes you start thinking so much, you know, to the point where you start dreaming this stuff. And then when you start dreaming this stuff, you know, the synchronicities start falling into place. You know, you start contacting. I had a guy contact me the other day. He said, I've been looking for you. And I said, what do you mean you've been looking for me? He said, well, me and you in the past existence, we fought in Egypt in a war, and we fought against these reptilian, you know, aliens. And I was like, what? You know what I mean? Like, for a second there, I sat back. I was like, what's going on here? It's like, interesting stuff.
So you're a warrior. Then you
right.
you're on the front line. Then you and your friends. That's what that is. Then you are the one.
Interesting.
You are the chosen. You're the one supposed to be fighting them. You're the chosen. You have to remember who you are. That's what this is. That's why the universe is bringing this back up to you. Remember who you are. You know, you're the one. You got the knowledge in front of you. You're like, you.
What's that, Roy? Hello?
Hello?